Bill Newman Hobart Crusade 83, Alibis and Other Lies.
Now tonight I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Now Jesus Christ was a master storyteller. Wherever he went, he told stories. And it helped people to gain insight into what the kingdom of God really is like. And here he is telling another wonderful little story here in the Bible. Now it says in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16 these words. And he said to them, a certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave away to those who had been invited, saying, come, for everything is now ready. Now, if I were to ask you this question tonight, going to church is like going to a... what would you say? Well, don't call out too loud. But I guess the last thing that you would say tonight, that going to church is like going to a party, a time of celebration, a time of enjoyment. But that's what Jesus Christ is teaching here. To come to Him, to give your life to God, is full of enjoyment. And when we really make that decision, that tremendous change in our life, something really happens. And our lives are never the same again, because Jesus comes in, and He comes in to stay. But notice in verse 8, and they all began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Now here's the first fool. There are three fools here tonight. The first fool is a fool for profit. All that he's thinking about is profit in life. And how like so many in Australia today, they are just obsessed with this wealthy materialism. Just being what I can get for myself, building up my own little petty kingdom, getting it all together. And yet we are neglecting the greatest thing that we have, our spiritual relationship to God, the matters of the soul. Jesus Christ said, what should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now this man must have been stupid. He went out and he's purchased a block of land and he hasn't even seen it yet. Can you imagine? I heard of a man one time that bought a piece of land, didn't go to look at it, and when he did finally get around to having a look at the piece of land that he bought, he found out that the piece of land was under a huge lake. Now, it's perfectly good soil, just a little bit wet. Notice what it says. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going out to try them. Please consider me excused. Now, surely he could have tried them some other time. I mean, you know, all these excuses, Jesus Christ is showing us just how weak and feeble our excuses are. And here's the first, that guy is a fool by preoccupation. He's obsessed with doing something else. And how like probably so many tonight. When you get the challenge to make that commitment to Christ, there's always something else on. People have been invited to this meeting. And they've got some feeble excuse. Oh, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, or I'm a little tired tonight. Maybe I'll just settle down and watch the television. We make all these excuses, and here's another fool, a fool by preoccupation, doing something else, when he could have made that real commitment to God and enjoyed the pleasures that Jesus Christ wanted so much to give him. And here's the third fool. He's a fool for pleasure. And it says in verse 20, and another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And perhaps we can understand this reason a little better tonight. But it goes on to say, and the slave came back to him, I don't know any woman. If there's a party on, if there's a wedding feast on, man, that's the first place that they wanted to be. He only had to say to her, come on, let's go. She would have went straight away. But in verse 21 it says, and the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The slave said, master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said, go out to the slave, go out into the highways and among the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of these men who are invited shall taste of my dinner. this wonderful celebration that God wants us to enjoy. And yet we put up so many excuses why we will not come unto God. And the only reason why people today are lost, without hope, without peace, no victory in life, no sense of overflowing joy, no constant awareness of God's divine love and presence, the only reason is that they will not come unto God and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now I know a lot of people come along and say, man, you should see some of the Christians that I see. I mean, they look so sad. They look like they've been to their bank manager every day. They've got, I've seen happier faces on medicine bottles than what I see on Christians. I mean, some faces, they're so long they can suck marbles out of a milk bottle. But you show me a Christian, a two-handed Christian, that's really committed to God, and they've got a joy about their life that this world knows nothing about. Christianity isn't deadly dull. That's a lie of the devil. Christianity, living for Jesus Christ, is the most exciting life that you could ever possibly live in this day and age in which you and I live. But you know, we seem to have double standards all the time. I did hear of this little boy who caught this rat out in the backyard, and he stomped on it and he killed it. And he picked it up by the tail, and blood was flowing everywhere. And he raced into the kitchen. And he said, oh, mummy, I caught this rat out in the backyard, and I stomped on it, and I stomped on it, and I, you know, she was going, what? And he looked out of the corner of his eye, and he noticed that the pastor had come for morning tea. And he's holding this rat dangling by the tail, and he thought real quick, and he said, and the Lord called him home. But you know, tonight, you don't have one good, justifiable reason why you will not come unto God and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible is true from cover to cover. Jesus Christ is what He claims to be, the Son of God. We shared with the university students just the other day how that Jesus Christ is what He claims to be. He wasn't a legend, He wasn't a liar, He wasn't a lunatic. He's the Lord from heaven. We shared how that you can prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ in any court of law in the world, and I went through some of the excuses and some of the ideas that people come up with regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how that they are just absolutely futile. They just can't stand up. Jesus Christ had to rise again from the dead. The evidence is all there. And yet people today come along and they put up all the excuses why they will not give their lives totally to Jesus Christ. And someone says, well, the reason I don't come to Christ is that I don't understand the doctrine of substitution. I cannot understand how that a man dying 2,000 years ago on a cross and shedding his blood, that death on that cross can atone for my sins, cleanse me of all my sins, and so that I can come unto God. And for me to accept something that I don't understand is an insult to my intellect. That might sound pretty sharp tonight, but the Bible says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says, God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you see tonight, God says in His Word, I have given my Son, and no matter who you are, wherever you are, whatever generation you live in, if you turn to the cross, if you come by repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, He will cleanse us of our sins. Our sins will be forgiven. We invite Christ into our life. We've got eternity secure. He gives us His eternal life. But you know, we don't like to believe that. We like to have our own opinions. But I want to tell you tonight, listen, we are not judged on our own opinions, but we are judged by what God says in His Word. This book, the Bible, this is the straight edge. Bertrand Russell said some time ago, we must teach our young people to formulate conclusions and to weigh evidence. Fine, Mr. Russell. I agree with that. But we must have a scale. We must have a straight edge by which to measure things in life. And the straight edge is the Bible. 100 years ago or so, there was a man who stood up in Europe. He said within 100 years, there'll be no Bibles in the world. They'll only be in glass cases for people to come and look at in some museum somewhere. Now, that was about 100 years ago. If you go to that building today in Europe, it's just a big warehouse. And it's stacked from the floor to the ceiling with boxes. And you know what's in the boxes? Bibles. It's owned by the London Bible Society. This book that stood the test of time. When I was over at the university, I saw all the books, and I thought, now here I hold in my hand one book that doesn't need constant updating because it's God's book. It's true from cover to cover. But we've got this crazy idea that whatever we think, that's got to be true. What's right for me may not be right for you, and what's right for you may not be right for me, but that's nonsense. There are certain things which are either right and certain things which are wrong. 2 plus 2 never equals 5. Gravity doesn't shoot a ball into the air. There are some things which are pure facts. But we've got this idea of free thought today. Whatever we think, whatever we say, why, that must be true. Just imagine my little boy when he was a baby. I said, oh son, you're so beautiful, you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, but who am I to impose my ideas upon you? Tell you what, here are 4 bottles, they're filled with poison, here's 1 bottle and it's full of milk, take your choice. And 5 chances out of 1, he's going to destroy himself. You say, that's ridiculous. That is no more ridiculous than saying that we can just choose what we like in life and whatever we think must be true. No. You know, just imagine my brother-in-law graduating in medicine at Hobart University last November. But just imagine if he went to his teaching, the staff at the university, and they said, Finch, get our old ideas. You know, you just go out and, you know, just make up your own ideas about medicine and do your own thing. I tell you, can you imagine all the quack doctors that they'd produce here at the university here in Hobart? No, there's got to be a standard. There's got to be rules. And the rules of life are all found in the standard of the Word of God. Just imagine a captain of a ship leaving here to sail to, say, New Zealand, but throwing away compass and chart and expecting to reach his predetermined shore. Now listen, God says in his Word, I have given my son to the cross. If you want to get to heaven, there is only one way. You must come to the foot of the cross. You must repent of your sins. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But someone else says, well, the reason I don't come to Christ is that I don't understand how that Jesus Christ can come into a life by the power of the Holy Spirit, can change that life, redirect that life, and make that life new in Jesus Christ. And again, to me, to accept that is an insult to my intellect. How can God really change a life? And again, that sounds pretty sharp, but that kind of idea had its birth in the pit, and it was the truth. It was spewed out of tradition. Listen, there are many things in life that we accept, but we fully do not understand. I don't understand that the same sun and earth can put sweetness into the orange and bitterness into the lemon. I cannot understand that. There's a lot of things that we cannot understand, and yet we accept this. I don't understand how that a black cow can eat green grass, we get white milk and yellow butter. Man, when it comes to cows, I don't know which horn you screw to get buttermilk. I don't understand how that God can take the infuriated storm by the forelock, shake it into obedience, weave the colors of the rainbow into a beautiful shawl, and drape it around the shoulders of the dying storm. I cannot understand that. When I look out into the heavens and realize that there's something like 6 billion galaxies with over 1 billion stars in every galaxy, the incredible beauty of the solar system and the universe, I cannot understand how that we at this present are moving through this universe at 400 times faster than a ball shot from a cannon. I cannot understand that. And yet we accept this wonderful world in which we live. I can't understand electricity. We don't even know today whether electricity is a substance or a force. Now, Edison didn't know that, and neither do we. And for you to say tonight, well listen, I can't understand how that Jesus Christ in a moment in time can absolutely transform a life once that person gives their life to Jesus Christ, no matter what they've done, whether they've murdered, whether they've raped, whether they've been an adulterer or a fornicator, or whether they've committed any other hideous sin, large or small, I cannot understand how the God can change a person's life like that instantaneously in a moment and give them eternal life. I cannot understand. Well, if you say that, go home tonight, throw out your refrigerator. I mean, it's working by electricity. And replace it with the ice box, you know, and the old flood, put a tray under it and have a flood all over the kitchen floor. And then you throw out your electric razors. Don't travel home in your car tonight because you can't understand electricity. No. There are a lot of things that we use that we cannot fully understand. Now, marriage is based upon facts that we cannot fully understand. I mean, you didn't marry that man or that woman through facts that you can fully understand. Some guy says, man, you're telling me. Some say, well, the reason I don't come to God is that I would have to give up too much. Have you ever heard that excuse? Listen, what you give up is nothing compared to what you get. You give up hate, you get love. You give up fear, you get courage. You give up hell, you get heaven. You give up frustration, you get fullness. You give up perplexity, you get peace. You give up weakness, you get strength. You give up slavery, you get freedom. You give up the power of Satan and you receive the power of God. The Bible says, no good thing with he withholds from them that walk uprightly. Does that sound restrictive? People think that a Christian is bound up in a straitjacket, can't enjoy life. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Christian is the only one who is truly free to enjoy life. Augustine said years ago, slavery to God is perfect freedom. The Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Freedom in Jesus Christ. I'd rather have God for my Father, the Holy Spirit as my abiding comforter, the Lord Jesus as my elder brother, and heaven for my home than to enjoy and own the wealth of Australia. The joy that you have in having Jesus Christ. Listen, what you give up is nothing compared to what you get. Listen, I don't give up the garbage, I throw it away. And it's the same thing with receiving Jesus Christ. What you give up is nothing compared to what you get. Listen, what did Jesus Christ give up so that you might have and enjoy salvation and eternal life? He gave up the glories of heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He came out of the magnificent glories of heaven, was born by a virgin into a filthy, squalid little stable in Bethlehem, walking through the mud and the mire up to your ankles, the stench and the smell. But God gave His Son into that situation. Jesus Christ gave up so much so that we might enjoy eternal life. What you give up is nothing compared to what you get. Well, some others say, well, the reason I don't come to Christ is because I haven't had enough fun yet. Have you ever heard that excuse? I mean, really, what do you call fun? Blistering God's pure air with your soul-withering curses? Acting some like some lounge lizard somewhere, just hanging around somewhere? Or maybe trying to find some new conquest to prove your capabilities? I mean, what do you call fun in life? I've seen so many who say, well, I've got to have fun in life. I've looked and I've seen so many people who've tried to find all the fun in life. You walk down the streets of King's Cross like I have, and you see the emptiness in the faces. People trying to have fun, because they're empty. The only fun, the only enjoyment is found in Jesus Christ. That's where the real joy is in life. People say, well, you've heard this excuse so many times. Some say, well, the reason I don't come to Christ is because there are so many hypocrites in the church. Have you ever heard that excuse? They say, Bill, there's so many hypocrites in the church. I say, come on in, buddy. There's room for one more. You must be smaller than the thing that you're hiding behind. And if you have that excuse, well, you must be a hypocrite in your heart as well. You see, of course there are hypocrites in the church. Thank God. You say, what? Listen, if there's hypocrites in the church, that must mean that somewhere, someplace, there must be the real thing. I'm told that the note that we have counterfeited more in Australia than any other note is the $20 bill. Is that right? How do you know? Just imagine, if I come home from one of my trips, I burst into the lounge room, I say to my wife, wife, come with me to the living room. We burst over to the fire, I start the fire going, I take out my wallet, I pull out all the $20 bills, the whole two of them, and I throw them in the fire. I say, I am so lily pure, so honest, John, I've heard that they are counterfeiting $20 bills, and I'm not going to use my $20 bills because I don't want to be contaminated. She wouldn't say anything. She'd just tiptoe over to the fire. I'd never speak to her like that anyway, I know better. She just gets on the phone and she rings up the local institute for those of a shingle short, and she says, get over here quick because I've got real problems. Can you imagine? And yet we're just like that. All we say, there are so many hypocrites in the church. The next time someone says, well, I don't, you know, next time someone that's a real football fan asks me why I don't go to football matches so much these days, the main reason is because I'm just too busy, but the main reason why I don't go to football matches these days are this. Firstly, every time I go to a football match, they always ask me for money. Secondly, every time I go to a football match, you know, the people sitting near me never seem very friendly. Thirdly, the seats are always too hard. And then, do I go to a lot of football games, and the coach never visited me once. Fifthly, the referee made a decision I didn't like. Sixth, I was sitting next to some hypocrites, you know, they were just there to see what everybody else was wearing. Seven, the games always lasted too long. And eight, there was a band and they played some songs I'd never heard before. Nine, the games were always scheduled when I wanted to do other things. And 10, when I was growing up, my parents took me to too many football games. Have you ever heard those excuses? Listen, if you know of one genuine Christian, one real out-and-out Christian, what's to stop you from being the second? And I'm not asking you to come to a hypocrite. Listen, don't join the hypocrites. They're going to end up in hell anyway. What I'm asking you to do is to come to Jesus Christ, and there's no problem with him. He says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me that in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then will I declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that practice lawlessness. Look tonight, make sure that you're really belonging to Jesus Christ. Not just going to church. Not just having a spiritual experience. But really born again of the Spirit of God. There are some of you here tonight, and you've been to church for many years, but you're not really born again. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. But then someone else says, well, the reason I don't come to Christ is because I'm waiting for the right feeling. And I say, well, generally this kind of person is a very genuine kind of person. I say, what kind of feeling are you waiting for? They say, I'm not really sure. I say, how will you know it when it comes? You see, it's important that you just don't base the fact on giving your life to Jesus Christ on feeling. It's so important. It is fact, faith, and feeling. Fact, I know that I'm a sinner. Fact, I know that I'm away from God. Fact, I know that I need to return to God, confess my sin to God, acknowledge that I've sinned against him. Fact, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and when that happens, he comes into my life, he cleanses my sin, he gives me his eternal life as I receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Fact, faith, that act of faith, I make that step, that commitment of my life to him, and then the feeling comes. The joy, the peace, the pardon, the forgiveness, the knowledge that we're right with God. There is nothing like it in this world. Tonight, have you made that decision to really give your life to Christ? You see, on and on and on tonight we could go talking about all these excuses why we will not come unto God. But they're all just so weak and so they're so feeble compared to all the things that God in love wants to give you tonight. If I were tonight to give you a pencil and paper and ask you to write down the reasons why you will not give your life to Jesus Christ, reasons that will satisfy the highest demands of your own conscience, then tonight I've got no argument with you. But tonight, you know that deep down in your heart that the most logical thing that you could do is to really give your life to Christ. And men tonight, I'm going to ask you to do it. Ladies tonight, make the decision right here and now to give your life to Jesus Christ. Young people, all over this tent tonight, give your life to Jesus Christ totally. You say, Bill, how do I do it? A, B, C. A, we must admit that we've sinned. God, I've sinned against you, I know it. B, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you will be saved. To believe means to commit and trust. Yield our life totally to Jesus Christ. And C, we must confess Him. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Every person that Jesus Christ called in the New Testament, He always called publicly. And I'm going to ask you publicly to leave where you'll be standing in a moment or two. Move into that nearest aisle and come down here to the front, standing quietly and reverently, and make your stand for Jesus Christ. You won't stand alone. Counselors will come and stand with you. We just want to have a word of prayer with you, give you some literature. We won't keep you long. You can go on your way. If you've come with a delegation, they'll wait. If you've come with friends, they'll wait for you tonight. But tonight, I don't care what you are, Protestant, whether you're Catholic, whether you're some other religion, the main thing tonight is this, that you really give your life totally and completely to Jesus Christ. You know, Bob Ingersoll was a great atheist who used to run some of the western states, or the eastern states, in America at one time. He used to go up to Illinois. I drove up through there. It's the breadbasket of the world. Just miles and miles and miles of cornfields. And he used to go through some of those towns, like Des Moines and other areas, and he used to preach his godless atheism. He was in a place one day, and he went for the governorship of Illinois and lost. And he stood up in a marketplace and he said, oh, come on, tell me that God answers prayer. Prove it to me. And this little old pruny-faced lady come up and she says, I'll tell you how God answers prayer. He said, go on. He said, you ran for the governorship of Illinois and I pray that you lose and you lost. Bob Ingersoll used to build up these straw men and proceed to just cut them down. He'd preach on subjects like why I believe that there's no God, the mistakes of Moses, why only a fool would decide for Christ. One night he was preaching his godless atheism in an auditorium. And he came to the end of his address. And he said, after all I've said tonight, is there one person who will stand and by their standing say, yes, I still believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. No one moved. Oh, I thought it was so funny. He stood back, challenged them again, said, come on, if you believe in God, stand up. No one stood. And then he said, as he laughed again, he said, oh, come on, if you believe in God, after all I've said tonight, stand up. Not one stood. But then finally, some girls way back in the back balcony left where they were standing and moved into the nearest aisle. Walked down the aisle and they started to sing that wonderful old hymn. Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It shall not, it must not suffer loss. And others who are Christians started to swell the aisles. They moved in and they came down to the front. And hundreds started to sing, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It shall not suffer loss. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand for Jesus and really, right now, commit everything to Him. Let every head be bowed, please, and every eye closed. we come to the presence of God tonight in a very quiet and reverent way. These are sacred moments tonight. God has been so good to us tonight. He's worked so powerfully. This music, there's been enough gospel in this music tonight to bring anyone in this tent to Jesus Christ. But tonight is your night. There are men here tonight and you know that you need to receive Jesus Christ. There are ladies here tonight and you know that you ought to give your life totally to the Lord. And there are many, many young people. I'm going to ask you to throw away the excuses right now and come unto Christ and give everything to Him. If you're not sure that you're a Christian, if you're not sure that if you died right now that you'd go to be with God in His heaven, then right now, without hesitation, pray this prayer with me of commitment. As I pray the prayer out loud, you pray the prayer with me, silently in your heart, I'll pray it phrase by phrase, and make sure of your relationship to God right now. You're tired of going it alone? Then pray this prayer in your heart with me right now. Say this with me in a very distinct way to God, silently to the Lord as I pray out loud. Say this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I come to You. I thank You for dying on that cross for me. And I thank You that You're alive. Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sinfulness. I turn from my sinfulness to You. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask You to come into my heart, to be my personal Savior and Lord. From now on, I want to live my life completely for You. Help me to do this, Lord Jesus, as right now, I submit my life totally to Your control. Now as we're bowed in prayer tonight, I believe that there have been scores and scores of people tonight that have prayed that prayer with me. That is so exciting. I know that right now there's great joy in heaven. I'm so excited for the decision that you've made for the Lord Jesus tonight. But I also believe that there are many, many of God's people here tonight. And you know that at this moment in time, if you would just be honest, would know that you are so far away from God, really. I mean, you've not spent time with the Lord in real fellowship with Him this day or even this week. You've neglected prayer, you've neglected the Word of God. You don't really enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's people. You don't really have a burden to share your faith with the lost. You don't go out and compel them to come in. I'm going to ask you right now. Do you feel that right now you need a fresh touch from the Lord? If you would just be honest. Why don't you do it right now? If you've backslidden, if you've lost your victory in Jesus Christ, or if tonight you really want to get serious with living your life for God, then pray this prayer with me and give your life to the Lord afresh in a new way. Say this prayer in your heart as a believer tonight. Say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, tonight I come to You in a new and fresh way. Take my life. Use it to Your glory. Empower me by Your Holy Spirit. Right now I surrender my life on the altar of sacrifice. Tonight I surrender all.
This ends the message, Alibis and Other Lies. If you prayed with Mr. Newman, we would like to send you the free booklet, Welcome to the Family, which contains help for you in the Christian life. Please write to Bill Newman Crusades, Australia,